Pomp and Joe reunited. We have a Steelers depth chart for the first time this year. We're going to talk about that next segment, but we've hit on something here. Noticing last night, the few fans that were there, very excited, especially the one angle of the Sawinski slide. You look down the third baseline, people having a great time. Ran into a woman this morning over at a Mount Lebanon coffee shop, Bob. And she took her kid there last night. They had a great time. I don't know why we want to, you know, deprive people of that. But worse than that, why we want to blame them. Blame them? Everybody agrees. Everybody listening. Everybody on this show. Every single person I know agrees that the Pirates' problem begins and really ends with ownership. I've been writing and talking about this for the better part of my career, more than any other topic, because people, you know, I talked about Ben, the good and bad, mostly good for his whole career, but he's retired. The Bob Nutting thing has been a constant for a quarter century. We all agree on that. The people in the building are not to blame. They're not complicit. They're living their lives, going out and enjoying a ball game. Bob agrees. The hyena from the last segment does not agree limits, I don't think. Does he?
No, he seemed very upset about the matter.
Yep.
There's his laugh, and this was his conversation.
Yep. That doesn't mean you can't
listen to you.
Listen to you
telling people, that you don't go to the games and don't watch it. You're calling a sports
understand,
talk radio show. And in fact,
he's in it for the money.
Yeah, we do.
He's not in it. Because, I got to win.
Right, we understand. We understand. Now, if you could shut up for a moment, but you can't. You can't shut up for a moment, can you? Yeah, there you go.
Shut up, can you?
Can you?
I have. Can you?
No, you're not. You're laughing like a hyena, and you keep saying the same thing over and over again. There you go again. There he goes again. There he goes again.
There he goes again, Bob.
Yeah.
I think that may have moved past Tony. On the all-time list there.
Tony! Can you intersperse the hyena's laugh with Ron's laugh? Is there a way to juxtapose those both? Now, did the hyena try to call back?
Oh, he tried.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
You like that, Joe?
I don't like that. Did you talk to the hyena or you just recognized his number?
No, his name popped back up, but we were mid-conversation, so I wanted to pay attention. Mike.
Mike. From where?
Mount Pleasant.
Mount Pleasant. Well, there you go. He's very pleasant. All he does is laugh. Let's get back to the lines.
All right, let's go to Tom. He is in Clinton.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
Hopefully I won't have any animal nicknames by the end of the call, but sometimes that keeps the morning moving.
It does, yeah.
Joe hands out in nicknames really quickly, too. It doesn't take long.
So my question is, I'm going to the game Thursday with my girlfriend, and we'll go to four or five games a year. And deep down, if we win one or two of them, you know, it's no big deal. If we lose, you know, more than we win and, you know, we lose 5-1 and whatever. But luckily, baseball is a sport enough where, you know, just like they say any given Sunday in football, any team could win. And they have so many different things that they still do at PNC Park in between all the half innings with the pierogi races and the hot dogs that are always going to keep kids going there. And my question is, why won't they lower ticket prices ever so slightly to get people in the door when people like me are going to spend $36 on beer and hot dogs?
Yeah, I think that's a good comment, actually. I think they should, based on, again, the product that's on the field. That's first and foremost. So I think they should do, you know, and I think that would be well received by people in the public, by media people, if they would do something like that. But don't hold your breath because it's not coming.
I mean, I'm just thinking, like, if you got a few more thousand people to go to the game, they'd have any form of slight inclination to go back to another game. And, you know, it becomes a not expensive night out, but, you know, $150 for the two of us to go.
I do agree with you.
And it's like, if I'm going to pay $17 for a beer and I'm going to have to wait in a long line already, like, why not sell those seats like they used to in the upper level for $9 or $10? Because you're going to make $40 off me. And if all you care about is money, get more money.
Well, here's the thing. back in March, Yahoo did a report on the MLB teams with the highest and lowest median ticket prices. I don't know if the Pirates would agree or disagree with this, but they're way too high on that list.
Again, for the product.
It's a beautiful ballpark. I get it.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, you got to give them more than that if you're going to jack prices up.
How is it?
To your point, all that other stuff more than makes up for dropping a ticket price by a couple of bucks.
Yeah, there's no way the Pirates are in the top 10 in median ticket price at 102. Now, I guess a lot of numbers could go into that, but that doesn't even make sense.
And we got to find a way for all these like third-party ticket sites and everything to not have these outrageous fees, which is just so ridiculous. Surcharge fee, $10 because, a ticket, yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be 7-8 years ago when, you know, the Pirates were somewhat closer to being good back when they made the playoffs a while ago. There were so many season ticket holders that got so many more benefits that if they didn't want to go to a game, you could buy tickets on the third-party website
right.
for $12 or $14.
And again, it's extremely understandable that people no longer want to go to Pirates games. I don't begrudge those people one bit. But I am now looking at the median ticket prices, Bob, and it goes, how are the A's number one in median ticket price at 181?
181. I don't understand that one.
Then it doesn't make sense. Dodgers make sense. Rays don't. Astros, Red Sox, Cubs, Phillies, Padres, Yankees all make sense. And then the Pirates at 102?
The Rays and the A's, maybe just because of the capacity in that ballpark, is just so small when playing in the minor league parks.
So the only people who maybe buy tickets, see, I don't know how they measured this. Maybe try to buy good tickets. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know. That's very odd. Data collected by resale ticket app Game Time. That says median ticket price.
Well, that seems awfully high.
For the Pirates or for like for the A's and the Rays?
For all of those. Again, the whole logic is to get them in the ballpark. Once you do,
right.
You can do a lot of things with extra money. Because people are going to spend. There's no question. Every concession stand I've ever seen is never unpopulated. There are lines waiting to get into them. So,
and then you look at MLB attendance, and the Pirates are one of the lowest teams in the league, which, of course, is also understandable. They're fifth lowest. The only teams lower than them. Guess who the four teams lower than them are, both of you.
In attendance?
Yeah.
Well, the Rays and the A's.
Yeah, those two teams.
Yep.
Because of what they're doing.
Oh, my God. The A's are at 9,692.
Yeah, they don't fit a lot of people in that park.
Beyond that, I would say Chicago White Sox.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good pick.
And the other Florida team. Boy, baseball's really taken off in Florida, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, they sold out the weekend with the Yankees in town. They swept the Yankees, those Marlins.
Oh, they're hot. I mean, they're playing well. And Tampa Bay has played well almost every year in recent memory, yet they're drawing under 10,000 people. That is just a crying shame. And the Pirates are way down under 20,000. So basically, I mean, people have already made their statement by not going. You know right. what I mean? So I still, that just reinforces the point of why blame the people, their most loyal fans who want to go and buy season tickets. It's their money. Next.
All right, let's go to Emmanuel. He's in Carnegie.
Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello, how y'all doing?
Good.
What's up, Emmanuel?
Hey, I agree with all of y'all. All three of y'all are just the pillars of common sense. You can't blame the fans for going through the games. You know, and first of all, you know, every fan has their own agenda, like the previous caller, you know, date night. Some people have family night. Sometimes it's like a work event. So there's different agendas. Me personally, I don't go to games as much to be honest, I'm probably not going to go for the rest of the season because the end result of those games I'm really passionate about. So it's not really like an entertainment experience when we're losing. I get a little bit frustrated, to be honest. So I'm probably not going to go to the game, but even Hyena, he watches the games. We know that.
Hyena.
Local TV revenue has a big factor into, you know, Bob Nutton in his pockets. And let's be honest, do you really think that Bob Nutton will prefer a sellout crowd over, you know, 11,000 going to the games? So, you know, he wants to win in his way, and he's probably doesn't know how to do it in the most productive manner. But he still wants to win. He wants to sell out crowd.
Well, he wants to win the profit game, That's the game he's won, and that's the game he will continue to win based on how he...
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say that he wants to win. There, he does nothing to show that.
No. He has every reason to... If he really wants to win, he can make blanket statements with blank checks.
But I completely respect your decision not to go. But yes, we all know.
He has a date night once in a while. So
once in a while, yeah. But he said not the rest of this year, right, which I get, obviously. And also, he referred to, there's no doubt Hyena watches the games, Bob. You agree?
Yeah, I think so.
I remember when
the NFL went through this whole thing where people were going to boycott them and never watch another game for political reasons and everything else. And you know that's not true. I mean, there's only so much entertainment viewing to be made on weekends. And most of it is sports related. So you'll watch.
Absolutely. Fan Twitter brought to you. But what are the Pirates TV ratings? Can you look up those right now, where they rank this year, or what's happening with those limits? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Listen to Pomp and Joe on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And finally, Bob, the Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Bob, you must be getting geared up for the first preseason game. When is it?
Yeah, this coming Saturday down in Jacksonville, Florida. So, the first opportunity to see a lot of these rookies, specifically this whole rookie class that many of them already installed as, significant players, from starters to number two on depth charts. So you get a chance to see them. I'm wondering how much quarterback play we're actually going to see.
Let's talk about
that. But I will
predict
for you that Will Howard will become either much bigger in stature or not. If he has a good game, you watch how that takes off.
Oh, you watch how that takes off. Let's talk about that. The first preseason game. Not only your prep work, Bob, but yes, how the quarterbacks play out, who plays, who doesn't. And the first Steelers depth chart is out. And I think the biggest story, I got to take one more closer look at it, but at first blush, the biggest story to me came at receiver. I'll tell you what's going on. The man calling the play-by-play Saturday night, Steelers Jaguars, is sitting right across from me. His name is Bob Pompiani. Bob, I'd be worried about pronunciations if I were you. Not what I'm saying is, if they let me do it, I would be obsessed with pronunciations right now. I'd be practicing in front of my mirror. Let's start with this. Jaguars or Jaguars? What are you going to go with? Jaguars. What?
Jaguars.
Is that what you go with, Limits? Jaguars?
Yeah, Jaguars. The Thomas Jefferson Jaguars. Okay. Jaguars. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. So nobody says Jaguars.
Some do.
Okay.
I still
Some people
that.
Do.
We have some questions on the Steelers pronunciations. There's a man named Isaiah Otomewo,
mm-hmm.
Bob. Let's hear you say that, Bob. Let's say it in a sentence as if he just made a play.
Isaiah Otomewo.
Wow, you've already practiced this.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't make a play, though. He won't come out the same way.
Iku Leota. You got that one? Leota with the tackle?
Iku. You got to emphasize the E.
I like that.
Iku Leota.
I like that a lot. And Y.A. Black, you have that Y-A. One down?
Yeah, he's a okay. That guy is looking like he's going to be a contributor right off the bat.
Man, it's a big day, maybe for some edge rushers like Ade and Iko, man, who just got here.
There he is. Yeah, Iko. Iku.
Iku.
Iku, yeah. This is very confusing. Brandon Echols, look at the pronunciation guide in small lettering, E-C-K, then a dash, and then all caps, ELS. That would indicate Echols. Brandon Echols. Would Brandon, it not, Bob?
Yeah. I mean, I've always heard him as Echols.
So am I.
I mean, it's going to be hard for me to say that, and I wonder what Charlie will do on this one, too, because, if we say Echols, people are going to wonder if we're... Because they won't know. They won't see this pronunciation guy.
Right. And
I've always called him Brandon Echols.
That's like when Mirzi first dropped the Connor Sherry on everybody.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Right.
What is it? Went on for weeks.
How about Braden? What's his last name, Bob? Braden Fajoco.
Oh, right? The guy they just signed. Yeah, they brought him back.
You got that one down?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's been here before.
Do you go Friar Muth or Friar Muth?
Muth.
Muth. Okay.
Muth. Muth. That's what they have it in the pronunciation guide as, Muth.
Yeah,
Muth.
Exactly.
Not Muth.
How about Ben Skowronek?
Skowronek. You got that one? Skowronek.
Easy, right?
The pride of Notre Dame.
Yeah. I feel you're prepared, Bob.
Where do you see the Jacksonville pronunciation?
Really?
You want to see some names. Oof.
Good luck with that. That would keep me, that would distract me.
But a lot of these guys will get into the game early, and that leads to what you would expect in game one.
What would you expect in game one? What is Tomlin going to tell us? Rodgers, does he even take a snap? Series?
I don't know that he will or won't. I would want him to take a series. It doesn't have to be a high-intensity series, just to get him out there. And, you know, here's the thing. They're cramming all this time with all these new players. And while they're all veterans and they're guys who have big resumes, they haven't played together in a while, if at all, just a couple of weeks of training camp. I still think it's important to get a little cohesion going. Now, it doesn't have to be, you know, a whole first quarter series. It can be, you know, three or four plays, whatever, handoffs. Just get them in and out of the huddle, see what they can do, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see Aaron Rodgers, if for no other reason, because it's the first time you're going to see Aaron Rodgers. And then it's about who plays after that and how much they play.
Well, let's just say Rodgers were to play a series or two. Then Rudolph till the half, and then Will Howard with the second half with everybody on the edge of their seats, right?
I think it may be Will Howard in the first half.
Really?
Yeah. It'll go the direction you said, but it won't be two series for Rodgers. It'll be a short series, if at all. And then Mason Rudolph, and then it'll be a large sample size of Will Howard. Because quite frankly, they don't have a lot of time to kind of assess what he is. And the only time they're going to be able to do it most likely is in this preseason as far as game action. If he plays in the regular season, it'll indicate a lot of things have gone wrong. So you may not get a chance to see him. And if you're going to make a judgment on him, you want to see it in this preseason.
Okay. What if he shows out in the preseason? Clearly, people very excited about him. What if he has a great preseason? Does that change their thinking? Should it change their thinking one bit on going after their quarterback of the future next year, Bob?
No, not at all. I mean, they have a lot of picks for a reason. There's a lot of competition that could be made. You're still not going to know enough about him. And that you may feel good about him, what he's learned in 1 year, and put him into the mix. But if you draft a quarterback in the first round, that quarterback is going to be your starter moving forward. At least you hope so. So,
limits over here is rooting for Will Howard.
Well, you remember Pickett in that 1 year.
Yeah, I want to see him do well.
Five possessions, five touchdowns. Everybody came to a conclusion that was not the right conclusions. In the Hall of Fame game last week, Trey Lance was like 12 of 14 for two touchdowns, no interceptions. And Trey Lance, many people have already chalked him up as a bust. But now he's, you know, as a backup to what they got in San Diego I keep calling him San Diego. Chargers.
Yeah.
He's not going to do anything but be a backup there. But that's a better showing that he's had. And maybe Harbaugh can bring something out of him. I don't know.
Did you see where our friend Benzie again? The Steelers may already be getting a read on next year's draft class. TV station out in Arizona revealed that the Steelers were one of at least 10 teams on hand for Arizona State's practice on Monday.
Sam Levitt?
That would be Sam Levitt. How do you guys feel about him? Limits, I'll start with you. I know you have all the read on next year's quarterback.
Yeah, Levitt in the playoff game that they played really did not impress me. It was kind of the Cam Scataboo game. Now, here's the other thing about a lot of these quarterbacks. We have another full year to be able to judge them. So whatever we've been able to glean from the past year.
Glean is a good word, Bob.
Players are going to be able to improve and get better. And I think that's an important caveat to make. Because right now...
Caveat's a good word as well, Bob. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
You know, I've really pulled out...
Back-to-back words there.
You're going full Malzy here.
I got my thesaurus right in front of me. Because...
Next you're going to say by orders of magnitude.
By orders of magnitude, I would probably rank Levitt a little bit lower on my list of preferred quarterbacks. He'd probably be in that middle tier with the opportunity to move up, though.
Who's at the top of your list, honestly?
You know it's Drew Aller.
Is it Aller or is it...
Arch Manning.
No. The guy that...
Nussmeier?
Yes.
Yeah, Nussmeier's... He's ranked right up there at the top.
I have Arch 1, Aller 2, Nussmeier 3, Sellers 4 right now.
Actually, Crowley mentioned Sellers. That's
Malzy
his top
loves Sellers.
Yeah, he's...
Malzy loved Broderick Jones, too.
Malzy also loved Anthony Richardson. Look how that turned out.
Now you're taking unwarranted shots at
Malzy. I'm just restating things that were said on the PM team yesterday.
Listen, I've been wrong. I was wrong about Russell Wilson and Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
And Mitch Trubisky.
So were you, Bob.
So was I.
Were you 0 for 3 there? I was.
Well, again, watching Pickett in that one preseason made me think that
all
that
of us, yes.
I mean, we all did. How could you not? There we go.
It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
Do you talk to Lanny from time to time, Bob? Do you see him over at the country club?
I see him, yeah, occasionally. I haven't been up there all that much this summer. I wish I could play more like you.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it. I'm wasting money, I think.
Again. I think he's still mad at me from a two-on-two we had. I think my partner was Josh Roundtree. And I forget what happened, but I think Lanny got mad.
Golf you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah.
That seems strange.
I know it was.
Golf's a gentleman's sport. There's no disagreements. There's no fighting in golf.
I'd like to have a rematch with you on my team.
I'd like to do that.
No offense to Josh Roundtree.
I have to play more. I'm very disappointed in myself that I don't play as much.
I'm disappointed in you as well. Do you know who Arizona State's wide receivers coach is?
Hines Ward.
That's right. And he's been elevated to associate head coach. How soon before we start calling on Pitt to replace Narduzzi with Hines Ward, Bob?
I don't think that's going to happen.
I think it'll happen sooner than we think.
I think it might be Antoine Randall of the Lions that might be called on.
Oh,
or
about that.
I love that
Larry
guy.
Foote's in coaching, you know.
Yes.
So.
Love that guy, too. All right, back to the depth chart. So, not anything like that's shocking here. Friermuth or Jonnu Smith at tight end, but then they have two starting tight ends. What are they going with, a 14-man offense to start the season here, Limits?
Well, what was odd to me about this is they list two different tight ends. It's Pat and Jonnu, plus Darnell Washington as his own little category
here.
Yeah,
they have two starting tight ends, Friermuth and Washington.
So they basically have three.
Well, how many tight ends are they going to go with, Bob?
You can see four on the field maybe at once.
And then Connor hold on a second. One. Bob, can you talk for a second?
And they have a fullback, too.
See, I think, they have a fullback, but they also have used other people there. I don't think, they have two guys listed, and one of them is Connor Hayward
right.
as a fullback.
Well, where does Lou Nichols come from? What's happening there? Did my depth chart get squeezed in?
Yeah, Lou Nichols is not supposed to be there. No. He is like the extra guy that was added in as the last back because they have so many.
Who the hell is Lou Nichols, Bob?
I've never heard of him. Somehow family relation.
He might be Lou Holtz's grandson.
You're going to need to tell a Lou Nichols story on the air Saturday.
I hope I don't. Now, I will avoid that altogether because I don't know
what
much
if Lou
about
Nichols
Lou.
Runs for a touchdown late.
Well,
in the game.
Then Lou Nichols. They're not
what
booing,
a throw
they're
by Will Howard. He drops Will a Howard's... dime to Nichols. They really connect Bob.
Do you think Skylar Thompson will get any play?
I forgot about him. If any game, this would probably maybe this or he'll be gone by the last one, don't you think?
Joe, you had intimated in the break as your tease that you were surprised about one particular thing.
I am. And not surprised. I just thought it was the biggest story. Maybe a little surprised, and it doesn't bode well maybe for this guy. And that is our friend and yours, Roman Wilson, is listed behind Bob Woods as a third stringer. You have Calvin Austin.
Technically fifth string or fifth wide receiver.
Right. Because they have two sets of receivers, the starters being Calvin Austin and DK Metcalf. Then behind Austin, Woods and Wilson. Behind Metcalf, Scotty Miller and Kabali's guy, Ben Skoranek. So you're right. At best, he's fifth and fighting Skoranek maybe for a roster spot. What's going on here? Then we had DeFabo come on yesterday and say that basically he hasn't seen anything but negative stuff from Roman Wilson. So what's happening with Roman Wilson?
Well, not enough, apparently. So, he was one of those guys they counted on to come up. He and Calvin Austin, he's been banged up a little bit. It may go to show you that Omar Khan's not done here. He'll have to look around and come up with another wide receiver at some point based on how limited they are behind DK Metcalf.
Are we being ridiculous here? And I'm including myself, all of us judging Broderick Jones and Roman Wilson a little too early?
Yes.
Are the signs bad with both, or is all of that true?
One good, like if both of them play in Jacksonville and play well, that narrative changes fairly quickly. If Roman Wilson makes two catches for 50 yards and one of them's a touchdown, you'll forget about whatever this depth chart says.
Yeah, but you want to see him play with Aaron Rodgers at least,
Well, but Aaron Rodgers is going to be in there for two plays.
I don't know if Aaron Rodgers wants to see that.
I think Aaron Rodgers will get a bigger sample size in the home game against Tampa the next week.
Probably. Yeah. That's what I want to see Roman Wilson.
Do you think he'll dress and play? You think he'll play a series? It would be a hell of a thing if he didn't dress and still played.
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not because of his age and everything. But I still think, again, just to get in out of huddles, just to get out there with that group.
I agree.
You don't have to be high leverage plays. They can be all handoffs. Who cares?
On the defensive side, what stands out, for me anyway, is poor little DeMarvin Leal, Bob. Already a rookie listed equal to him. It goes at left outside linebacker, TJ Watt. Jack Sawyer listed ahead of Leal, but there's a little or between them, Sawyer or Leal. That's got to hurt to have a rookie come right in and at least equal you and in some ways, depending on how you look at this, surpass you on the depth chart already. What happened with this guy?
Yeah, they've tried to move him around at different spots, and it just isn't working. They had high hopes for him. They had high hopes for a lot of guys. Isaiah Loudermilk's another guy who they expected to have more of an impact. And maybe this year will be the year, you know, as far as depth down the line here. But Jack Sawyer is he's a guy who knows how to win and knows how to play in big leverage football. And I think you've seen that probably early on in this camp. Will we see it on the field coming this preseason? I hope so. I think he's going to be a good player for them.
Jack Sawyer is going to be very, very interesting and I think fun to watch in these preseason games. I like preseason football. I should call it exhibition football. I may be alone in that. I don't know, because I feel like there are guys on the roster where this is the only chance we get to see
him. This is it.
Am I sitting there riveted in the fourth quarter watching Lou Nichols get carries? No. But I do like seeing guys that we might not get a lot of in the regular season. I like that. I don't want to watch five games of it, but two are okay, two or three.
Yeah, it's
do
the only
you agree
opportunity,
or no?
Yeah, and that's why we like doing them, because you get a chance to watch guys who you probably have just heard about. One way or another from training camp and some of those practices, which
how
after
about
a
Max
while,
Hurlman, Bob?
What about him?
Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, I mean he's another guy who's not going to make the team, but he's there. There's a guy named Rock Taylor who I'm hoping does some good stuff. He's a wide receiver.
How about Evan Hull? Any relation
Evan
to Bobby
Hull?
Or Brett?
It might be Hull, baby, or maybe it's who's the other Hull? Prominent
Lexi
name.
For the Indiana Fever?
No.
I don't remember another. Kent Hull.
Charlie Hull.
Jim Kelly's center in
Kent
Buffalo.
Hull, that's another one, yeah.
Also, Bob, defensively, are you buying all this talk? Let me go over it quickly. And I opened the show with this yesterday. Like, geez, are we going a little too far here? We have Mike Tomlin saying we'll cover anybody man-to-man. We have Joey Porter Jr. saying we have three elite defensive backs, apparently including himself on that list. We have Deshaun Elliott saying we're top five, maybe number one defense. We have DK Metcalf saying this is the greatest defense I've ever faced. We have Peyton Wilson stepping up and saying I'm the best coverage linebacker in the world. Are you buying the hype with this defense?
I think the hype started and really enhanced when McAfee came to town. And that's all that was. It was a hype show, and that's fine. That's what this is all about, get people excited. I still think they potentially can be one of the best defenses. We've said that over the last several years. It's not worked out that way. But I am at least glad to see they're entertaining with the thought of being, you know, man-to-man and more active in blitzing. I want to see blitzes. We haven't seen a lot of them. Quite frankly, all it takes is one of those kinds of plays, and down and distance changes significantly in your favor if you make it. So they have players who can do that. You can come from different angles, especially in the secondary. And I want to see
they're
going to
be great. They're going to be top five, maybe number one.
On paper, they should be.
Wow.
But I don't know if they will be.
I'm not sure I agree with that. Now, I would say that there's a positive case for this defense, player by player, and a negative case. Almost player by player. You want to go positive, Bob?
Let's go positive, then we'll go negative.
Cam Hayward, great. Keanu Benton, really talented. Bounce back year. Derek Harmon, destroyed people in college. Going to step right in. TJ Watt speaks for himself. Patrick Queen was pretty good. Can get a lot better. Peyton Wilson, ready to step up and be a star. Alex Highsmith, hopefully healthy this season. Recaptures the glory from 2 years ago. Darius Slay, a lot of people say can still play. Juan Thornhill, when he's not injured, is a good player. Deshaun Elliott kills people. He's really good on the field. Just absolutely ruins people. Joey Porter Jr., is a pretty good player who stands to get a lot better his third year, and Jalen Ramsey is excellent. Would you like to hear the negative case up and down the
list,
Bob?
Yeah, there were a lot of ifs and things in that assessment that make me wonder, but I'm sure negative.
Cameron Hayward faded a little bit, and I'm saying Cameron because I'm reading the depth chart. Cam Hayward faded a little last year at his age. Does he stay healthy the whole year? Keanu Benton took a step back. Derek Harmon's a rookie. T.J. Watt hasn't been around or healthy for the past 2 years when it came to the playoff games. Unhealthy last year and ineffective, not even there the year before. Patrick Queen was disappointing. Peyton Wilson's unproven. Alex Highsmith is hurt again. Darius Slay had no interceptions. It's his last year. Juan Thornhill has a troublesome calf that kept him off the field in Cleveland. Deshaun Elliott has troubles in coverage. Joey Porter is like 161st on Pro Football out of 255 players. He has way more penalties, 18 penalties against 2 interceptions. And Jalen Ramsey has worn out his welcome everywhere he's been.
So I would say, correct.
It's, I'd say the truth is somewhere in between, and that doesn't equal greatness to me.
No, but potentially can if you were to, you know, for teams to do well, you've got to, number one, be healthy. Number two, have all those players who you expect to get those kind of productions from do that. Now, they can all do that, but then again, you're right. The negative side of it makes you wonder. Jalen Ramsey, it is a good question to ask. Why has he been with so many teams? Everyone's touting this guy as still very capable of being an elite guy. Well, why then did Miami decide to move on from him? And he's in his fourth team now. So these are things we're going to see. I'd be very interested to see where they play him, how they play him. And I wonder if Beanie Bishop is going to be a casualty in this whole thing.
That's a good question. I just wonder how many of these guys are really good. Is Hayward still going to be that for 17 games and beyond? Is Keanu Benton even a good player? I've never seen Derek Harmon play yet. Is he going to be a good player? Is Patrick Queen a good player? Is Peyton Wilson going to be? Is Highsmith ever going to recapture 2 years ago? Is Slay still a good player? Is Thornhill even a good player? Is Joey Porter? I don't know.
You want to do the
Can
same thing for the offense?
Can somebody answer me that question?
You're going to have the same thing on the offense, and you'll find you'll probably
Yeah, but nobody's saying the offense is going to be the greatest of
no,
I've ever
but
seen.
A lot of people are saying it's going to be much better, and it needs to be much better. But you can also put, you know, holes through that if you want.
For sure,
player
you
by
can.
Player.
Starting with the quarterback, I have no idea what we're going to see. None. Now, I think the best hope with Rodgers and the offense is that they skate by, kind of like they did early last year with the kind of wins they had. Let me think now, against Denver and against Atlanta. Those kinds of ugly wins until Rodgers gets his footing when the schedule gets tougher. They could be 4-1 after 5 games, I think, pretty easily.
I think
easily.
They have to be.
Yeah.
I think they really have to make up ground early in the season because it does get tougher after that. And they also have their bye week real early in the season, which means they're going to go through about 12 weeks where they're just going to have to play back to, you know, week after week after week.
412-928-9370. You want to weigh in on anything Steelers depth chart? You believing in the hype around this defense? And what about old Will Howard? Would you just as soon he be the guy moving forward? And if they have a really good pick or they want to move up in the draft next year, how about a different position? Or are you dead set on them having to get a quarterback next year? How open-minded are you about Will Howard? Bob, have you been out to camp yet?
Yes.
Have you seen the reception for him?
Oh, I know people love him. Yeah.
Is he getting the biggest reception at camp?
I think Rodgers gets his share of it. But yeah, of all the people that you see on our – I guess, day-to-day basis, Will Howard gets. And like most quarterbacks who are, you know, second, third string, they're always the most popular. That's not new. It'll only intensify if he has a really good game, though, I can tell you that.